Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're very happy to bring in Michael Irvin, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider from the NFL Network. He is the playmaker, the Hall of Famer, appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. And Michael is brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Mr. Michael Irvin, it is a pleasure as always. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys? I see the approach you are taking with this game. So you're going, instead of looking at just this year, you're saying you want to settle all family business with this one game.
Not absolutely.
Just this year, but not just this, not just the present, not just destiny, but also history. All family business, huh? That's interesting.
What I didn't realize, Michael, until today, is that it was Bazzini all along. It really was. It's, look, it's the biggest home game.
Stuff, Dave. See, that's classic stuff. Classic movie stuff. Everybody, you know, you could all relate to it. I love The Godfather. It's just classic stuff.
Look, it really is the biggest home game since they left Candlestick. And obviously, when you're the last team standing, you get to get greedy with what you're dreaming about. And, I mean, this is the chance for the 49ers to put a three-game cushion on major division rivals, on really the rest of the NFC. And it could be the difference in playing the rest of the regular season, Michael, at a breakneck pace, or maybe even having a chance to take a breath, which for an NFL team with several weeks still in front of them, is a luxury.
Yes, it is, man. Indeed. Now, listen, man, let's talk right now about right now. And I understand everything you're talking about selling family business and the importance of this game for all of that. But this game is so big for the future, for the right now of the San Francisco 49ers that it is incredible. You think about this now. Week six, when you played the Rams, everybody said, this is the show-me game, right? Because they hadn't beaten anybody. You played the Rams, they said, this is the show-me game. But now we look back on that, and you look at the Rams, you say, okay, maybe really there was nothing to show me. Todd Gurley, who was an MVP candidate, isn't playing like an MVP anymore. I don't know what's going on there. I'm worried about Todd Gurley. That's another story. Week eight, you come back, and you're playing Carolina. And we said, it's another show-me game. And Carolina's MVP was on the sideline, and you took out Carolina with Cam gone, 2015 MVP anyway, with him gone, and you won that game. Week 10, you are playing a team with an MVP candidate. If you ask me, he is the MVP right now of the league, and Russell Wilson. So this game is, I think, the real qualifier when we look back. And we dub those games as qualifiers, but this game is the qualifier, and it comes at a perfect time. Have you looked at the schedule from week 10 back? I don't think nobody in the league has a tougher schedule than the 49ers after you look at week 10 and move on from there. So this game is a crucial game. I'm going to tell you out front, I did take the 49ers to win this game, but I'm telling you out front, boy, they better be careful about this one because Russell Wilson is not going anywhere, and he will be playing all game, and this is going to be a close game. This will not be a blowout. This will be a close game because that's what Russell Wilson always does. He make it a close game.
In 1994, you were on a team that won its division by three but was up by six with about 5 weeks to go. Was there ever a danger within the room that you guys thought you might sort of lose your edge and enter the playoffs, maybe not at the top of your game? And is that a normal thing for the NFL?
Well, you and I, we can pull back and look at things like that. But guys in the locker room don't ever think like that. There's invincibility thing that permeates a locker room, and especially when you're the last team standing and you're feeling good about the things that you've accomplished, and you're here under the guidance of nobody. I don't care who you go and look at and see what they predicted at the beginning of the year. Nobody but you and God thought you could be here. So there's no way you can say to those guys, look, are you worried about what's going to happen at the end of the season when they are in a place that absolutely nobody but them and God thought they could be here?
I'm curious, talking about the mentality in the locker room. Before this year, I mean, you're coming off a 4-12 season. You're not even close to a playoff team, never mind a potential contender for the title. Now, 8 weeks into the season, you're a good argument for the best team in football. And I know you were on a team that progressed pretty quickly from 1-15 into the playoffs. What's the mentality change like to go from the hunter to the hunted so quickly?
And first of all, we didn't just progress from 1-15 into the playoffs. We progressed from 1-15 to winning 3 Super Bowls in 4
course.
Years.
Of course.
Within 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Let's just make sure. Hey, listen, it's not me bragging. It's just me clarifying and stating so we can.
It's just facts.
And
I got gotcha.
Edify the people. Right. We have a job to do. We want to edify them, give them knowledge so they can take it to the water cooler and talk about it. So that's to be said. Because one thing to get in the playoffs, and I guarantee you, you talk to anybody in the locker room right now, San Francisco, the playoffs, at the beginning of the year, everybody said that would be a win. Right now, they figure that would be a failed season. That you getting in the playoffs, that's automatic. That axiomatic means self-evident. Right now, we are in the playoffs. If we only go in the playoffs, now it's a failed season. That's how this thing works. And listen, I do believe the mentality right now of that team is in the right place. And you talk about a great quick progression like that. You know, they saw stuff before we saw it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember we saw it before everybody else saw it. And even our first year beating San Francisco, nobody thought we would do that. They thought that 92 season, they said, oh, boy, in about another year or two, nobody's going to be able to beat Dallas. I remember we were saying, what are you talking about in year two? Y'all ain't going to be able to beat us now when we come. You know what I mean? That's the mentality that these guys are having, I guarantee you.
That's a Hall of Fame mentality. Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. So all signs are pointing, Michael, to no George Kittle tonight. And obviously, if that's what happens, Emmanuel Sanders' role in this passing game grows with that alone. The chance for someone to become that number two, whether it be Deebo Samuel, Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis, Kendrick Bourne, like, I really don't care who it's going to be. It just needs to be somebody. And if tonight was the night that somebody chose to step up, it would go a long way to help them win if Kittle can't play.
Absolutely. It's a big time, man. And speaking of that, you know, you go to my website, MikeOrvin.com. I do 3 fantasy receivers every week that I think will have big days. And Emmanuel Sanders is one of the guys I pulled out this week. Same reasons that you're bringing up. Now, I'm real worried about George Kittle not playing. Say what you will. Have you noticed I was watching the other day? I don't know what show I was watching because I watch shows when I'm moving around trying to get the information and everything. And they were talking about it. They just came up with a statement. They said, yeah, man, George Kittle's not playing. George Kittle may be the second best tight end and pushing Travis Kelce right now. I was like, listen, dude, all you got to do is tune in to the game. I said that weeks ago. You could have gotten the knowledge and put that out weeks ago because he is. He really is. So I am worried about him not playing tonight. But you're absolutely – somebody has to step up to make some plays.
Michael, when it comes to weapons, Russell Wilson's got a new one and Josh Gordon. We saw the Niners integrate Emmanuel Sanders quickly. What do you think Pete Carroll hopes to get out of Gordon tonight?
Well, and that's the difference, though. You know, you integrated Emmanuel Sanders because he was coming from a similar offense. He was doing exactly what he was doing in Denver, a lot of what you guys are doing in San Francisco. Now, Josh Gordon is coming from a different system into Seattle. Now, here's the other side of that, though. here's the other side of it. It's Russell Wilson. So even if Josh Gordon doesn't make the right call or make the right decision or make the run the right route, all he has to do is stay alive. Russell Wilson still give him the opportunity to make a play. I'm going to tell you what's difficult, though, for a wide receiver, guys. Whenever I tell young receivers I'm working with, whenever you leave the huddle, if you're leaving the huddle thinking about what route to run, like, okay, what's the play? Okay, now what route do I have on this? You've already lost. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat somebody when you're thinking about what route to run. You have to leave the huddle thinking, how do I win on this route? So there's only a package you can give Josh Gordon right now that he can be effective with, because he can't be leaving the huddle thinking, what's my route on this? What's my route on this? You give him a package so he can be effective, so he can break the huddle thinking, what route? Now, how do I win on this route? That's how he can be effective. But because of Russell Wilson's ability to call a play and then pull another play out of that play that he's nowhere on the script or anything, he could be effective that way.
How much of that is knowledge of the route? How much of that is the terminology? And how quickly is a receiver of his quality expected to have the terminology down?
I don't know exactly what offense they run. I don't know if they use the number system or a word system. You know, that old West Coast offense was a heavy word system, and you had to extrapolate the route from the words that were being said, and it was a tough thing. And for a guy like me, it was so hard. We had a numbering system, and we went single receiver side to the other receiver side. I'll give an example, 585. The X receiver would run a 5 route, which is a 15-yard comeback. The tight end runs an 8 route, which is down the middle, and the Z receiver runs another 5, 585. We gave the receivers the route. The West Coast system come out 3, jet, scat, 2 wide dig. It's so much in there. When we were in the Pro Bowl and we had beaten San Francisco, and back then the loser of the championship game had to coach the Pro Bowl. And after we had beat San Francisco, they were coaching the Pro Bowl. And I happened to have a contract year, so I really wanted to do some things in that year. And I remember we're going into the game. And I was like, God almighty, I don't know this offense. This offensive line, I want to perform well. So Troy, he got it down pretty quickly. And so what we were doing in the huddle, Troy would call the play, 2 jet scat, whatever. And then he'll look at me and say, 5 route. He was hey, this is like 4 route, 3 route. I got it. That's all I needed. So it was so funny. I just bring that up just to share because I remember that. That blew my mind. And we actually ended up, winning Super Bowl, Pro Bowl MVP that year. But that happened a year before they started giving out cards. I was like, man, how did I miss that? How did I miss it by 1 year? And should they not just come back and give me a card anyway?
All right, now I'm just totally curious. What was the Michael Irvin money route? What's the number you wanted to hear more than any other number?
Well, I love running the deep end route because it gave me 20 yards. And I always felt I could beat you any time on a deep end. I don't care if you're playing man, if you're playing me hard inside, if you're playing outside of the route, or if you're playing cover two, when you're sitting or you're bumping me with the corner with the safety over the top, because I would love to set up that four route, which is the deep end, and then turn back around and set you up on a four pump, which is an in and up. Now, third down, I wanted you to run a two route, which is a slant route, because I knew nobody really wanted to run a slant route. I didn't want to run a slant route. So I wanted to attack where nobody wanted. Even the guys that are tackling the guy that running a slant route, nobody really wants to run into each other. You want to you want to hit somebody, it hurts them, but it really hurts you too. So I love running that slant route on a third down, third and four, third and five, something like that. And let's just meet at the ball and shoot who's man enough to catch it.
Pretty wild day across the NFL yesterday. Probably the most shocking result being Atlanta's 26-9 win over New Orleans. And we've seen from the other NFC contenders a game like this where it just seems like a bad Sunday. How is it that a team as talented as the Saints, that's been that good all year long, lays that kind of egg at home against a bad Falcons team.
Just what you guys were talking about, and there's, you know, when you are the hunted, you have to come out and match the hunger of the guys across from you. It's not just that you can execute, because anybody can play on this level. You have to also match the hunger. And in Atlanta, they have so much hunger. They're talking about getting rid of everybody, getting rid of the coach, everything over there. So those guys dug deep down to try to win a game for their coach. Because even though their season is bad and going poorly right now, they know if they knock off a team like the New Orleans Saints, people start saying, oh, my God, well, why can't we do this, you know, all the time and give them some kind of reprieve? And they showed up and played their best game. They were all over Drew Brees. They were all over Drew Brees. I say the same thing. Now, why can't you do that every week? Why can't you do that every week? They just can't do it every week. But they can get up for guys like Drew Brees and get up for guys like the Seahawks will get up for the 49ers tonight. So I'm telling you, that's why I keep telling you, they better be ready to match the hunger of the Seahawks tonight, because it's so funny how this thing is switched, you know, because you come into it, they were saying you can match up with the Seahawks that they declare you as a viable team. But now people are saying that about San Francisco. So they better be ready, because they are the hunted now.
Michael, are the Cowboys officially facing the wrong direction?
Man, I knew you were going to get to this. I knew we were going to get to this. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I am absolutely blown away with the way that game went last night. First of all, just coming out and not and letting, you know, well, giving up a 14-point lead, poor tackling, domination on both sides of the line against Dallas. They just dominated Dallas. I mean, dominated them. I was at that game, man. I watched it. I said, what is this? I mean, it was total domination. Minnesota ran the ball. Delvin Cook ran the ball up and down the field. If it wasn't running, he was catching it. I left the game so upset and thought to myself, this is ridiculous. This is a very good football team. And if I was this upset, I know I can only imagine what Jerry's going through after all the money he shelled out. And this is supposed to be that year, and it's not happening right now at 5-4. The Cowboys could be at worst right now 7-2, and they're 5-4, and that's just not good enough.
How good are the Vikings?
Yeah, I think the Vikings have turned the corner. But Kirk Cousins has turned the corner, and he's starting to make plays, you know, and starting to get rid of some of the things that plagued him. Like he wasn't beating 500 teams. He wasn't winning in prime time, and those things are starting to happen. He has the right people around him. I without Adam Thielen, that they would have a chance. The Cowboys would have a chance, or certainly a better chance at beating them. But they came out and played ball, and the Cowboys just could not match that intensity. So you got to give credit to the Vikings. You got to give credit to Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and everything for what they accomplished these last couple weeks and the way they played football after that turn of what we saw when they were apologizing openly and publicly to each other.
Toward that end, I mean, Cousins will get credit because, you know, he's no longer looking like the Cousins of 3 or 4 weeks ago. But as was the case a year ago when Todd Gurley was healthy, is that a team that basically lives and dies off Dalvin Cook?
No doubt. No doubt. You need that runner. And we saw last year when that kid wasn't what he is right now, when he didn't have that run game, what it was. We saw that. No doubt that team, when you can run that football like that, you cause all kinds of problems. And not just running. You know, Dalvin Cook, he was throwing 5-yard passes to Dalvin Cook, and he was running all down the field or behind the line of scrimmage to Dalvin Cook, and he was taking it down the field, picking up another 30, 40 yards. They become explosive plays without that many air yards in the football. It's hard to beat a team when they're able to do that.
Michael, we've got a possible offensive rookie of the year in Josh Jacobs, and the Raiders in John Gruden's second season are a half a game out of first place. Wow.
Yeah, there are a couple guys that we have to really sit down and give some credit to, man. When you're talking about that, I mean, John Gruden, you got to give him credit for what a job he's done here. I mean, to go through all that he's went through after getting rid of Khalil Mack, sending Amari Cooper this way, thank you for that, sending Amari Cooper this way to Dallas, the heat he took, going to get Antonio Brown and that fall apart right before the season and to still have this team battling like that, you got to give him credit. What a great job him and Mike Mayock has done, going to get that kid like Josh Jacobs, who I said will be Rookie of the Year. And I also got to give credit to Mike Tomlin. Ditto what I just said about John Gruden. It's like, that's incredible for Mike Tomlin to lose to all the Killer Bees, Ben, Bell, and Brown, and to lose it the way he lose them the way he lost them, and then to turn around and still have this team where he has this team and have that defense playing like he's playing. Incredible coaching jobs. Now, let me bring that home. That is what Gary and all of these guys are looking at when they're saying, my God, wait a minute. Those guys are doing that with the situations that they are having, and I have a stacked team, because he has to think he has a stacked team. He put out a lot of money, and this is happening. That's why I say, boy, you got to know he's not happy with this.
Michael, you are the fastest 20 minutes in radio. This time flies when we get to talk to you. Thank you so much, as always. Big one for the Niners tonight. We'll see what we're talking about. A 9-0 team maybe when we have you on next week. Thank you so much.
That was 20 minutes on radio. Man, that is crazy, man. That does fly, buddy. All right, guys, I appreciate it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.